Welcome to Foundation and Family, the Erica Diaz Show, where real estate wisdom meets family life. I'm Erica Diaz, here to share stories, insights, and inspiration for building homes and nurturing hearts. Let's dive in together. Hey, everybody. I'm Erica with the Erica Diaz team, and we are here with Foundation and Family. And today we are going to have the privilege to talk to these strapping young men about the NAR lawsuit and what buyer agency looks like. So let me introduce you. Paul Duhon.
How's it going?
There we go. And Adam, how do you say your last name?
Griot.
Griot. I didn't want to butcher that.
You look good.
Perfect. So we've got both of these fellows joining us today because they both have had the opportunity to deploy and operate buyer agency agreements for the last year before this even came down. So let's take a step back, talk about NAR and what is going on in the NAR lawsuit. The things that we know today are that it did come out with a ruling, but the judge is still expected to sign off sometime in the summer, I think in July, and that it will require buyer agency agreements. So what is a buyer agency agreement? Adam?
Buyer agency agreement is just, we kind of like to put it like a handshake. It is an agreement between myself, an agent, and a potential buyer who is saying, I am ready to purchase or look for a house, and I need somebody's assistance to help with showings, to help with negotiations, or whatever else that may look like. It entails different terms of what that agreement looks like and the value provided and also the requirements of the agent and also, you know, what the expectations can be from the buyer.
So one thing that I think is super important to add is that 18 states across the U.S. have already required that buyer agency agreements exist. So just us down here in the wild, wild west, which we're not in the west, but Florida, we're the ones down here like, we're doing what we want.
Yep.
And so this isn't that new of a concept. It's just more new to us in this marketplace. But fortunately, we have had the privilege of coaching through what this is going to look like for the last year, year and a half. So tell me your experience of using buyer agency agreements.
Well, using buyer agreements, you and I are seasoned in knowing that we work with a lot of different people. And so using buyer agreements, I think is very handy in that, like Adam said, it's a little bit more than a handshake. And anytime you deliver some kind of service, you know, it typically does require something a little bit more than a handshake.
Yeah.
So let's commit. I'm committed as a buyer's agent. I'm committed to you. I want you to commit to me. There's a lot of work that goes into buying a $500,000 house.
Sure. Buying any house.
$1 million house. And so I'm ready to take that on and give you my time and give you my years of experience. So let's just put it on paper.
Well, and I think it's important for the consumer to understand how this worked in our county and our counties, I guess you would say, because if you get down to South Florida, it's a little bit different. But in Florida as a whole, there was a listing agreement that was signed between the broker and then the seller, and that spelled out the total amount of commission. And then inside of that listing agreement, it agreed to co-broke from this broker, broker A, the listing broker, to the buyer broker. So I think a lot of people in the world just assume that realtors are on salaries and they'll click that Zillow button and then they go and have you drop the box and show the house, all while they've got another agent that might be on vacation.
And that sounds great.
It does in theory sound great.
But it's not convenient, not
how it works. But it's not really how it works. And so without the education behind it, I think it's really important for the consumer to understand how that works. So now we enter into this phase of buyer agency, and it says, hey, I'm going to do XYZ for you, and then you're going to commit to me. But even off camera, we were talking about this buyer agency agreement. It's not about you agreeing to buy a house. It's about you agreeing to work with me on this particular house or on this particular house or on this particular house.
I like to put it, it's the two of the most important words you're going to hear in real estate as an agent are going to be setting expectations. And that's going to be what a buyer's agreement is going to be, is setting expectations for myself as an agent, but also for the buyers who are looking for a house and saying, this is what you can expect of me as an agent.
Right.
And I mean, if you're going to sell your house, that's what you have. That's right. What a listing agreement is it's setting expectations of what you can expect from us. And so the buyers are just now having the same thing in the state of Florida. You said it. It's used in many other states to set those expectations and make sure that we're successful.
Yeah.
And so that's what the brokerage agreement is really.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, I don't know about you guys, but like when you go to the dentist and they're working on your mouth, I really need that play-by-play because I get so anxious.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot.
It is a lot. And that's just right here. Yep. And they're just working. And you know you're going there to get your teeth clean. You know that.
Yep.
But I need that play-by-play. Hey, I'm doing this. Hey, I'm doing that. And I usually go into that chair saying, hey, listen, I have high anxiety in this situation. And I need you to communicate with me through this. Because if I don't know what's coming, my anxiety is it's even higher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So similarly, now, we're not talking a 30-minute cleaning. We're talking a 3-month relationship of moving a lot of money that has a lot of risk involved and a great potential for you to lose money if it's done not correctly or improperly. So this helps kind of outline that, in my opinion, and gives a little roadmap for those buyers to kind of know what's going on. So I know for me, if I need a 30-minute instructional period, you might need something to help get through the next 3 to 4 months of the biggest investment of your life.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was just about to say. This is the biggest investment of most people's lives. And it would be very beneficial for them to know what is going to be expected of them, even not necessarily by me as the agent, but from a lender, from a title company, or from the seller, just so that they can know going in, okay, this is what I need to prepare, or this is what I need to get ready, and this is how I can be successful. And let's kind of team up on making sure we're successful.
Setting the expectation, I think you hit it on the head there. You know, do you know how long it takes for us to start a contract for you to actually get the keys?
Yep.
Right.
When's your first mortgage payment?
Yep.
You know, your timeline in buying a house, it all comes down to money. It comes down to you trying to move your family from one house to another, which obviously involves a lot of money.
Logistics, so too.
Making sure you understand all that and saying, I got you. You don't have to go on Google. You don't have to do the research. I've done this for a long time. Let's set the expectation from the beginning. Let's work together. And at the end of the day, you're going to be a whole lot better for it.
Well, and let's talk about that Google too, because Google is great. ChatGPT is great, but it's national. It's global. It's not specific. And even then it can be slightly incorrect because it is still
absolutely
AI. And it may get to a point where it's just, you know, perfect and like shooting in a stock barrel. It might just get perfect. But at the moment, there is misinformation and it is national. So just because real estate operates this way here, we just said it. 18 states already required this. Yeah. Those 18 states are sitting back like all you other ones are sweating and worrying, and they were already there. So I actually was on a Brokers Open yesterday, and one of the agents had come from Nevada. And she was like, this has always been the case. She was like, I would have buyer agency agreements in my car and they'd be signing them on the hood of my car before we walk in that house. So when I got here to Florida and it was like, I'm not doing that. And it was like, gosh, this seems very loose, very risky. So I think this will actually help our industry and help raise the level of standard. But the flip side to this, I think we will see a lot of buyers because they believe they can't afford the commission that's spelled out in that buyer agency agreement. I think they will be approaching the listing agents. And I kind of want to touch on who hires the listing agent and what that looks like and what a single agent is versus a transaction agent, broker, single broker, transaction broker, because I would venture to say, just to guess off the cuff, 50% of our industry don't understand that there are different agencies. They passed the real estate test. Congratulations. It was on the test. But I can't tell you how many times inside of MLS, there's three numbers in there that spell out the commission. Every 10th call I get says, well, the total commission is 6 because I added those all together. No, ma'am, that is incorrect. You are incorrect. So right there, it tells me that they don't understand that they are operating as a transaction broker.
Exactly right.
What a single agent is and how that looks. So when we start to see these buyers approaching the seller's agent, is that good? Is it bad? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Of course, I have my opinions.
Well, I think anytime you go into something that large of buying your home and putting your family into it, I think that it's best to have representation for yourself.
Right.
The seller obviously did it for themselves.
Right.
Kudos to the seller. And so now at this time, you know, if you want someone holding your best interest, why not get someone who is a professional and is going to make sure that your family is being taken care of the entire process?
Well, and years ago, I started the team. And one of the reasons I started the team was, although I operate as a transaction broker, which means I can represent both sides of the transaction, I never enjoyed it because I felt a level of commitment and service to the listing and or the buyer. And when you're in that role, you ultimately know too much. And then you can't get to a safe, fair middle because you know too much. So that was one of my pillars in starting the team, because I could say, hey, Paul, you're going to take the buyer on this. They've approached me. No big deal. I represent the seller. You keep your comments to yourself. I'll keep mine. Of course, there's office chit chat, but ultimately you're representing them. I'm representing them. And let's do the best that we can for our client. And it's been successful.
That's how you're successful. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to navigating inspections, appraisals,
right?
You know, I want to do what's best for my client.
Right.
And if I'm representing the seller, that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
Right.
If I'm representing the buyer, that's a whole different conversation. And so to be representing both sides while transaction broker, like you said, is what it is. To be fair to both sides, you want to make sure that they're both getting equal time and say in the process.
Yeah, I would also add to that, and just so you hear the word dual agency thrown around a lot, and a lot of people don't understand in the state of Florida that is illegal. Nobody can be a dual agent. We are transaction brokers.
Right. Yeah.
Transaction brokers are what allows us to work both sides of the deal. The cool thing about a single agent is there's a lot more duty that they have to go towards whoever they're representing, the seller or the buyer. Being a transaction broker allows them to do that, but they still have a duty to the seller contractually because they have that listing agreement. There is a line in the listing agreement that states out word for word that they have to get the seller highest and best.
Right.
How can they get the buyer highest and best if they're getting the seller? So if you're looking for a deal, it's very difficult to get your best deal when they're trying to get the seller their best deal.
Well, and I go back to, we're talking about a house. We're not even talking about a car, which is still a very big investment, but we're talking about a house, quite possibly someone's largest investment. When you're going through a divorce, and all you divorce attorneys out there, you can comment below or do whatever you need to do. But I believe if you consult with that attorney, say wife or spouse consults with this attorney, other spouse can't hire that attorney just because of the consult. So why, and if that's wrong, I'm sorry, but I know you can't have the same attorney represent you if it's contested. So why would you willingly engage in a huge contractual relationship with one person representing both sides? It just gets muddy, in my opinion. And I think we're going to see a lot of that. And the whole idea of this lawsuit was to protect the consumer. And so I wonder what will ultimately happen in the next couple of years, what that will look like.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of consumers right now, they are up in the air because there are certain consumers who, we were talking about it yesterday, may have been on the cusp of a debt-to-income ratio, and they don't have what it takes to come to closing with the extra cash, and now they don't qualify for the same price point that they did before. Or you have the veteran buyer, and you know, I'm sure hopefully the government wants to take care of them and do what they can do, but they're not allowed to get any kind of concessions at closing Not concessions, but they're not able to have any fees additional charged to them like commission.
Right.
And so if that is the case, are they going to get the same representation as somebody who's able to pay for it?
I don't know what industry anybody works in that you don't get paid. Like,
yeah,
how many of you out there go to work and know you're working for free and you're not pro bono, you're not in a nonprofit, you are for profit. So that will be challenging, but I think we'll see some creative ways that people can work around that. Because our veteran buyers are, I mean, they're the backbone of this country. They've served for us.
Absolutely.
And we're actually harming them the most. Yeah. So that's very disheartening to hear. And maybe that'll be a change that comes out in the signing and everything.
I hope so.
Yeah. So we did create just 90 ways that we, as a buyer's agent, can serve a buyer. Mm-hmm.
So you selected a few.
So we did. We did. And when we kind of sat down and thought, like, how do we serve a buyer? What is our value proposition? Yes. What do we bring to the table? We were able to come up with 90. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as simple as just scheduling a time and kind of being that liaison between seller and buyer, preparing them with education as to what's to come, and then just thinking about like inspections. So if you have no idea how the process works and you're working with the seller's agent and they give you a 5-day inspection period, well, now you're held to those terms.
Yeah.
And maybe 5 days is enough, but I would argue that it's maybe not enough. And 7 is typical, 10 is extended, but you really need a fair amount of time to have that inspection. Yep. And if you represent the seller, you just said it. That conversation's different.
Yes, yeah.
We want to tighten up timeframes. We want to move this thing quickly. Let's get it in and out. Yeah. The buyer, we want to loosen up some things to give us some time to move around the cabin if we need to manipulate this or change
that.
And you are purchasing a large asset, so you might want to price compare your loan. Mm-hmm. So there are provisions in the contract that say you have X amount of time to make mortgage application. You have X amount of time to get loan commitment. If you represent the seller, you want that tighter. If you represent the buyer, you want that longer. So again, if you're working with that same agent, they can do it. It's just, who are they working for?
Yeah. 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 Because if I'm representing the buyer, you know, we definitely need some time to inspect your property, Mr. Seller. And if I'm on the seller side, you know, Mr. Buyer, you know, we don't want to pull your property offline for too long.
Correct.
So there's a meeting in the middle. And so if you guys are working with me as a buyer's agent, and that's what we're talking about here, showing our value as a buyer's agent, we're going to get you the best results and get you the tighters.
Well, and then one of the other things I think of, which is a hot topic in the industry, are recording devices inside the listings. And so almost 90% of our listings today have some type of
Ring
recording
camera,
device.
Yeah.
And it's just important that the buyer's agent who's working for you is saying, hey, listen, there are cameras on this property. You are being recorded.
Absolutely.
The conversations that we might want to have, maybe we don't do it in front of the Ring doorbell outside on the front door.
Step out.
Yeah. That might be.
I can't tell you how many times they're sitting there saying, I'm going to offer this. Yep. And there's a Ring doorbell camera right there. So I'm like, ch-ch-ch-ch. So, you know, it just looks different again, back to who you represent.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely a conversation to have with your buyer. You're being recorded the entire time.
And I would go back to that and just say the importance of those periods. Use them as your protection periods. As a seller, if you're going directly to the listing agent, are they going to let you know all of the different protections that are afforded to you? Or are they just going to say, this is your inspection period. How long would you like it? This is your appraisal. You know, this is your finance period. How long would you like it? Or are they going to sit down and explain to you the importance of an inspection period?
Yeah.
Like you said,
yeah.
7 days so we can get an inspector in there. And then there's turnaround to get the report. And we can sit down, discuss the findings. I have no stake in the house. So we're going to make sure we discuss every detail that jumps out to you. And we're going to get to the bottom of it.
Right.
Are you going to, is a listing agent who represents the seller going to have the same conversation? And if there is a problem found and you need to ask for either it to be repaired or a credit or anything along those lines.
Yeah.
How's the conversation going to go if the listing agent is the one you're working directly with versus having your own representation.
I agree. Yeah,
and then I think it also kind of feeds into back to the Wild Wild West. 90% of us are operating on an as-is contract.
Yep.
An as-is contract means exactly that. It means as is.
Define it as is.
So that's what we're operating on. And then people are asking for repairs. And that has just become the industry norm. Yep. But correct. What does that look like in the future? Do they explain properly? Hey, listen, you can cancel. Mm-hmm. They don't have to fix anything. It's just nice, I think, to have your own representation when you're talking about such a large asset mm-hmm. that you are potentially procuring. I think it's a huge benefit to
yeah.
our buyers.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. So I went on and created 27 negotiation terms, which we'll include these in the link below. But there's so many things that we can negotiate on that maybe the seller's agent doesn't really want to, because again, they represent the seller. But talk about leasebacks or rentbacks. You know, I don't know that every seller's agent is going to journey down that path, but maybe the buyer's buying the house and they don't need it right away because they're coming out of state. But you know, title companies, we can look at title companies and we can also make sure that we're getting the best bang for your buck, which it's honestly typically dictated by the seller, and then you would have to pay for it. But we can still look at all of these things.
Mm-hmm. That's so actually negotiation is something in real estate that really gets my wheels turning. I absolutely love it because it gives you the opportunity to really fight for your client as a buyer's agent, just really show some value.
Right.
So one thing I really love is just like you said, you can save money in a lot of different areas and you can have money credited to you. So yeah. whether that's the lender you're using, the title company you're using, are you negotiating credits for your buyer? Are you trying to make sure that they're giving them the lowest
Well,
fees?
If they're representing the seller.
The seller, I'm sorry.
I don't yeah. think they are focused on the buyer's process
yeah.
of getting from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And I, sorry, I've got lender partners out there. They're not going to like this comment, but they're not your friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 30-year relationship that you're about to embark on.
Yeah.
Shop it.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
So I don't know that the listing agent is saying, hey, Mr. Buyer, did you shop that?
Yeah.
Did you get yourself the best rate possible?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the best closing cost possible?
Mm-hmm.
Because this has always been negotiable.
Yep.
And I think we've missed that. And
one of the things Adam brought up was the value as a buyer's agent. One of the other things, you know, the average consumer obviously can go online and shop for homes.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, you know, working in this industry a long time, there's been several times that I've found homes for my clients that were not on the internet. And so that's again,
yep.
having value as a realtor. Are you going to take time out of your day after working 9 to 5 in the dark to go ride around and see who didn't put their home on the internet?
Oh,
or
yeah.
maybe mm-hmm. someone that you talked to a couple of years ago, who was planning on selling, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not just all about, you know, going on the internet and finding homes.
Sure.
You know, as a buyer's agent, I have a good knowledge of the area and who's going to be selling
yep.
in the near future and who didn't put their house on the internet quite yet.
Well, and that we had that conversation offline that like, I live, eat, and breathe real estate almost to an unhealthy level that I actually pray that God like kind of removes that mm-hmm. idol from me.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a couple from church. They came to me. They said, we really want to be in downtown Winter Garden. We
yeah.
don't want to be in HOA. We want to be at 450. We want
yeah.
big oak trees. We want it walkable to the farmer's market. That is almost laughable. It is almost laughable.
Almost.
It's tough.
But what I did was I said, okay, let me go identify what exists that fits that parameter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now let me find those owners. Now let me call them.
Yeah.
And I called them up one day and I said, I got your house. They said, are you serious? I said, yep, I do.
I love
so
that.
I said, this is the price. It's not negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've got their wheels turning that they're going to go to market because it planted the seed. The wheels are turning, but they're happy to sell it to you off market
mm-hmm.
at this price. And if it does go to market, it probably gives multiple offers. And they said, so do we have to offer more than that list price? I said, no, that is your price.
Mm-hmm.
So they live in that house. It's a couple blocks from the office. It's as cute as can be.
Love that.
And then I called them more recently and said, hey, listen, I got another one coming. It's $50,000 more than that. You got any friends? So then they called friends and they're like, she can find these. But once we plant the seed and we get the wheel turning, then they often do want to go to market. And then that does look different. But I do think with this, we will probably see some more off market stuff shifting around.
Well, I think in the state of Florida, we've already seen a lot of off market deals going. And I think you're absolutely right, Erica. We're going to start to see a lot of those. Let me, even as a buyer's agent, let me call the listing agent directly, who I do a lot of business with, who I know is very active in this neighborhood, and see what they have coming.
Oh, yeah.
See if we can beat a multiple offer situation, because if my buyers don't have to get involved in that and don't have to pay above what a seller wants,
and
isn't that awesome?
Absolutely.
If the seller, if that's what the seller wants, which it's so funny because as we journey through getting our house ready to go to market, I don't really want to go to market. Yeah. I don't want multiple offers. I don't. I'm here to say, as the seller, not the licensed agent, I don't want multiple offers. I don't want 45 people in my house. I don't want an open house.
Pictures
this is
on the
me.
Internet.
I don't want my pictures on the internet, which is so funny.
Yep.
Well, and it's really funny for me to have this like epiphany realization, because we're turning these units out and I'm like, oh, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. So if the opportunity presents itself for me to get a buyer off market, that's what I'm going to do, because that's what fits me. And I have absolutely called the top 50 agents in this marketplace and said, here's my stats on my house. Here's my price. And I'm happy to co-broke at X. So if you have anything, come to me. I've got a few months that I can piddle around this way, and then I'm going to have to put it on market if that doesn't work. And yes, you get more exposure if you go to the market, and if you don't have the time, that's probably not the way to do it. But for me, I've got time on my side, and that is how I've ultimately chose to do this.
Well, and as you mentioned, you calling people that you know.
Oh, absolutely.
This industry is definitely about who you know.
Sure.
I can't tell you as a buyer's agent how many deals that I've saved for my client because I knew someone.
Yep.
Right.
I knew the other side. I knew, and just having that relationship.
Yeah. We are a relationship industry. And I think
big time.
Even it's funny because most everybody knows my husband's in radio, Sirius XM, all that satellite, it all came out. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to lose our income. We're going to lose our business. It's all going away. And it didn't.
Yep.
It just didn't. So that's funny. It's a relationship industry. People want to hear local news. They want to hear what's happening here. They want to know the weather here. They want somebody that's relatable that they can see. Same for us. We've had disruptors in the industry. We've had Open Door. We've had all these disruptors. They're gonna keep coming. It's how we handle them and keep marching forward to keep our clients moving, because at the end of the day, you need a few things in life. You need food, you need water, you need love, and you need a roof.
You need a house.
Shelter.
You need shelter.
Yeah.
So we are a necessity, and we are preparing for what the changes look like. They're not as scary as they might seem.
Yeah, not at all.
And there are lots of misleading headlines. They are so not accurate. I saw one go out from NBC the other day, and I thought, wow, the consumer's reading that, and the consumer thinks that that is actually what's happening. And I was like, that couldn't be further from the truth. So it's important that if you do have a local real estate advisor or a friend, or you can reach out to us, we can kind of help guide you through what this looks like and what we're anticipating and what we're experiencing.
So important. And just like you said, real estate is hyper local.
It is.
So it's not something that, I mean, we can get to zip codes, we can get to neighborhoods, and they can be very different. And so when you're hearing a very general statistic or a very general report stating something that seems to be fact or seems to be crazy, it's always good to, just like you said, speak to somebody who is in the neighborhood every day, who's actually dialing, speaking to people who live there, speaking to people who want to sell, want to buy, and just kind of getting the gist of things so that you can know, okay, so this is what's going on in my active community. It sounds a little different than what's going on in the news as a whole.
Well, and listen, you know, the news people, they need to do their job. They have a job to do too. Our job is to help you buy a house. Their job is to sell the news and sensationalize it.
Yep. So.
Right. Well, and I think you even hit the nail on the head with the hyperlocal, because we're here in Central Florida, but we still refer to our partners on the coast, which I could drive it. Any one of us could drive it. You got a car, you got a car. You could podcast it the whole way there. But the reality is, we've got our finger on the pulse here. We understand what's happening here. And there's enough houses and people right here that we don't need to drive to the coast.
Absolutely.
And we can let a professional in that arena handle that client so that that client truly is getting the best value. And if your agent is working on a deal, you know, three counties, four counties over, you might want to reevaluate that. And sorry for y'all that are like out there working from Miami to Orlando, but the value is not really there, and you're not doing your client the best service, in my opinion.
Well, as a real estate agent, you want to provide value by knowing the market and knowing where you're selling and helping people purchase. And that takes a lot. And how can you be effective when you're spreading yourself so thin?
Well, and that even goes to part-time real estate agents.
Yeah.
Because what's the saying, like a master, a jack of all trades, master of none?
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't want to be that. I'm not a jack of all trades. I'm good at real estate. God bless me with that. But outside of that, don't ask me to do a lot of other things.
And
I have those conversations with my clients when we start getting into the numbers and start getting into lending. I say, listen, I've purchased homes personally, but professionally, I recommend you speak to a lender. You know, and that goes back to, you don't want to be the jack of all trades, being hyper local and having the relationship to know who to send you to.
Yep. Well, I think we've kind of covered everything. Before we close it out, we're going to do some rapid fire. It's always usually fun. So what's your favorite time of day? Faster.
Right before I go to bed.
Nighttime. Yeah.
Nighttime. Definitely not morning for me. Okay. What's your biggest weakness?
Pass.
Biggest weakness is sometimes I can be a little too awkward in social situations.
Yeah, I get that. Me too. That was for me. What's your biggest strength?
I enjoy learning always.
There you go. Biggest strength.
Biggest strength is definitely getting very involved and just seeing things from all angles, not just one perspective, being able to see both perspectives.
Yeah. Okay. What's your favorite real estate experience?
The day we are getting ready to go to the title company and we're standing in front of the house with that sign that says sold and everyone is got a big smile. And I say, let's take a great picture together.
Yeah. What about you?
Favorite real estate experience is when I get to tell a buyer that we just got our offer accepted and we are heading to closing.
Perfect. So I want to share mine because I freaking love it. But when we have simul closings and we've got to move money across the country, the most I've done is six in one day. It's a freaking rush.
Ooh,
and I love it. But you have to hit it on the coast, right? So you got to start here and in there so that you can keep moving money. But if you pull that off, it's like, yes.
Yep.
That's a whole different video.
Well, that's so fun. But thank you guys so much for joining us. If you have any questions, reach out below. Make sure you hit the subscribe button and the like button. And until next time, thanks. We'll be right back.